So I'm here at Pinkster Fest at Schuyler Mansion. I'm standing here with Mr. Cordell Reeves, who is one of the major organizers of this event. I know you were interviewed by Bria Bartel a few weeks ago. From that interview, I got inspired to come. And maybe you want to just share a little bit about your role here?
Yes, I'm one of many staff people from the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation working on this event. It's an important part of New York State history that most people don't know anything about. Pinkster is something that began under the Dutch as an observance of Pentecost, and enslaved people were given leave time, and they used that leave time to create their own celebration and to observe their own African-rooted traditions. And I see it as a form of cultural resistance to slavery, because one of the things that happens during slavery is there's an effort to dehumanize people. And holding on and retaining that culture is an effort to maintain their core values and core sense of identity. So I think this is an extremely important event, and we're trying to popularize it, not just here in Albany, but all over New York State, every place that it would have been celebrated, like Kingston, New York City, Yonkers, Long Island.
In that interview with Bria, I believed you used the word whole history.
This is part of our effort to make sure that we are capturing our whole history. So for too long, most historic sites and museums have focused on the history of Europeans. They focus on the history of the wealthy, of the war heroes. We want to make sure that everyone's story is captured. Native peoples, enslaved and free people of African descent, and all of those who have been traditionally left out are the people that we want to make sure are included, because they are part of the history. These vast estates and manors would not exist if not for, you know, the First Nations who the land was taken from, often through illicit means, and also through the free and enslaved Africans who helped to work that land and to have it generate massive wealth for others. So the entire story doesn't make sense if you don't include all of the different pieces of it.
A number of years ago, the Parks Department started trying to broaden the story around history in New York. We did that with the opening of Ganondagan, the state historic site, the home of the Hanadasi. Over the last several years, we've wanted to bring more diversity to the department and to how we present history. I've worked in New York State in the historic field for over 20 years, doing a number of activities with the state, and I was invited to come and work with the state to craft this position.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please begin gathering over by the mansion? We have an upcoming performance by the fantastic Pinkster Players and about 7 minutes.
It is also about re-educating New Yorkers about New York history. One of the things that many do not realize is the large presence of enslaved African and people of African descent in our state's history. Its role in the slave trade, not only the home of the enslaved, but the home of many of the elite families who are trading enslaved people from Africa into the Caribbean and to Brazil. It is a rich and intense history, but it is the labor history of our state during the colonial and new nation period. So it is my pleasure to bring that history forward, to continue doing a lot of new research around the history, particularly based on the work that has been done by Dr. Charles Goering, translating all those documents out of Dutch into English, opening so much new research for us to delve into. And for all of the New Yorkers and Americans, really just to be embracing the placement of enslavement, not just in the South, but in fact throughout the development of our nation.
And what I'm hearing you say is that this history is right. For all community members.
Yes.
It's all of our history.
It is the history of our country. And we've been easy to say, to section it off, oh, that's Black history, that has nothing to do with me or that. But you know what? I learned white history, right? If that was the case, then all the history I learned was white history. But in fact, we need to learn American history. New York has been an integrated environment since the 1624 when they first settled here. We have been integrated from that point forward. We need to own that integration.
Can you talk just a couple of minutes about the significance of this festival, Pinkster Fest?
Yes, Pinkster is a shortened version of Pinkerston, which is the Dutch word for Pentecost. Pentecost is the second major feast of the Christian year. Most of the enslaved who came to our area were from the Kingdom of Congo and Angola and were Christian or had been exposed to Christianity before the slave trade started by at least 150 to 200 years. This is a small window, both for the religious calendar and the agricultural calendar. So with Pinkster Sunday, the enslaved are not allowed to make any noise. That's a rule for any Sunday. But starting the Monday after, they were given anywhere from 3 to 5 days off to gather to celebrate in their own way. Again, many of them either were Christian or had been exposed to Christianity. So using their heritage, their culture, how they celebrated Christianity in the Kingdom of Congo and Angola and parts of West Africa, then we have the drums, we have the languages, we have the dancing. This is a rare opportunity for people to come. And one of the challenges around enslavement and people understanding enslavement in New York is that we grew up learning about plantations. Right? We never learned about manners. We never learned about urban environments. We never learned that every 2 to 3 houses in Albany had enslaved people in it. We didn't learn that the manor system here used in New York houses hundreds of enslaved people on these properties. But because they're individual farms, small, 150, 200 acres in size, each holding anywhere from 1 to 9 people, we're not seeing those hundreds, right? Because we see those individuals spread out. But when we gather them all together, this is what we had. So this is a way for them to see their community, to see their family, to see their friends, that throughout the year they're isolated from. The next break will not happen until the harvest is finished and we're into the winter holidays.
So this day, this celebration, it just seems like it's a mix of some freedom,
yes,
some breathing,
yes,
some connection with,
yes,
loved ones, and at the same time, the reminder that it's short-lived.
Yes.
So it's beautiful and it's also very sad.
It is beautiful and sad, but you know there's joy in resistance, and there's joy in staying. So it is that connection to family, but it's also that connection to the divine. In African tradition, there is no separation between spirituality and reality. So they live in harmony, they live together. And the drum's first primary focus is to open the gateway to the divine.
Good people,
so it's all of that coming together.